You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to This Month in WordPress and Tech. This is episode 939. This is going to be our last roundtable show for 204. Where has the year gone? I've got a fantastic panel. Some of the regulars couldn't attend. They're talking to lawyers as we speak. I've managed to get some great special panelists. I'm really impressed. This is the show that WordPress professionals come to end their careers. So I'm always amazed at those that volunteer. So I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves first. We've got Brian Castle. Brian, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks for the invite. This sounds fun. I'm a little nervous being on a panel. I'll try to bring the hot takes today, but with WordPress, I was pretty heavily involved in WordPress years ago, like about 5 to 10 years ago. I had different businesses in the WordPress space, and actually, I was hanging out with Devin at Cabo Press a couple of weeks ago, and every time I go back there, I feel like I'm a little bit of I have a lot of friends in the WordPress space, but I'm a little bit of an outsider.
Yeah, I know. I used to have friends in the WordPress space as well.
Right. But like, to me, on all these issues floating around WordPress lately, like, I'm really just a spectator at this point. Like, it doesn't directly impact me. And I've got some opinions and stuff, but like,
Please share your opinions. That's what
I know that it directly impacts people who are working in this industry, whether they have businesses or they work for companies in this space. So for me, it's sort of entertainment, but I also really, it's also kind of concerning in many ways too. So
thanks, Brian. And we've got a friend of the show, a regular, a semi-regular. He has to have a break and recover, and then he forgets how bad it was, and then he comes back on again. That's Devin. Devin, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Jonathan. I'm Devin Walker, Senior Vice President at Stellar WP. We own some of the most popular plugins in WordPress, like LearnDash, the events calendar, and GiveWP. The latter, which is GiveWP, which is the one that I founded. Been in WordPress for going on 14 years now. And very interesting time that we're in. So I think you picked a good roundup of news articles. So let's get into it. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. I'm going to go for it, Mark. I've got Mark Benzazine. I think I almost did it, Mark. I think I almost did it, didn't I?
Well, I'll let you get away with it.
It was a better attempt than last time you came on the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pronounced Benzocaine, but that's all right. We'll get there. You pronounced my first name right, which is what most people screw up.
Yeah, I don't normally even do that correctly, actually, Mark, but there we go. go on. Sorry, Mark.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mark. I'm with MainWP, and we make a WordPress management dashboard. For handling multiple WordPress sites. And I'm happy to be here. I've been in WordPress, I think, about as long as Devin. And I'm happy to be on your show because this is about the only place where I'm as tall as Devin. So,
Mark's in his... The reason why his sound might not be fantastic, Tribe, is he's in a bunker because the great leader's been looking for him. So he's been hiding.
Yeah, actually, the StreamYard is not letting me select my normal microphone for some reason. So
yeah, you're not allowed to log in using your WordPress
authorization. Oh, I didn't check the box.
Yeah, you didn't check the box. Yeah, this is the problem. Check the box. I got my old and whittled panelist, Spencer Forum, the only Spencer Forum. Would you like to quickly introduce yourself, Spencer?
I'm only as old as you feel I am. This year, 1 year, a little bit older. Spencer Forman from WP Launchfy. Always glad to be here. I'm going to commit today 5 opinions for my future to make sure that I'm fully up to date. And I want to say I've never met Mark before. Nice to meet you, and Brian as well. Good to see you guys.
Nice.
And I've got my great regular co-host and patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Kurt Von Onen, own a company called Manana Nomas, focus largely on membership and learning websites, and work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
Before we go into the show, I need to point some things out to your audience. First of all, I probably will start swearing during this show. So if you're not into that, it's probably not going to be your show. I might be able to hold myself back, but it might just pour out as well. Who knows? Secondly, these are opinions, folks. I've sought legal counsel. Everybody on this show has probably done the same. So these are our opinions. We know nothing. Nothing. We cannot help you in your legal woes, folks. So do not write to me or email me. Because these are just my opinions. I am not responsible for the panelists' opinions either. I'm sure they will make that clear. All right. So let's go straight into it. The great leader went to TechCrunch, had an interview. I got to say, it was one of the most amazing interviews I have observed for quite a while. Who are we going to start with? Let's start with Spencer. I watched it twice last night in the background, Spencer. What were some of the key things that you took from a just absolutely bonkers interview? What was your reflections on it, Spencer?
Before I got into WordPress years and years and years ago, I was involved with Michael Arrington and all the TechCrunch stuff when it was a big thing. First of all, TechCrunch is kind of like, I don't know about other people, like TechCrunch to me is like dinosaur days, this disrupt thing. It's like, it's almost like that Silicon Valley show. You know what I mean? It's like, I enjoyed watching people sit on the stage as if this is a thing. But I also understand, I think Mullenweg gives them hosting. So I think they invited him in. And the timing was precious. Interview was amazingly well done. I want to say
that's true.
Double, quadruple high fives to that interviewer because...
Yeah, what is her name? I'm sorry, I'll put it to
you. I apologize because I'd have to look it up on the thing.
Aisha Malik.
Oh.
It's Connie Loizos.
Wow.
I'm not mispronouncing it. Amazingly well done. Like, she just didn't give him an inch, but she didn't trigger him either.
No. She's very English, but she's an American. She did an amazing job.
I've seen a lot of this stuff, and from the early days with Arrington and a bunch of the other people, they were just, it was all about provoking people into reactions. So this was very well done. But the second thing was, I don't know if it got cut off, but there was a technical difficulty, and then I went back to look at it later, and it seemed like they were just at the like a third of the way through and then it was over. So I don't know if something happened. I haven't been able to see it. But from what was said...
A mysterious gap in the recording.
Yeah. Mm. So from what was said...
It's election season.
It was to me... I'm going to make 2 predictions. Matt held himself in 100%, known it 20 years, Matt fashion, 19 years, just... He put on his smile, talking through his teeth, and it was not in alignment with the behavior that you would expect from somebody answering those questions, which to me, as a student of psychology, I'm professionally licensed in psychology, I take that as a red flag because people who are responding genuinely in an honest fashion have facial expressions. They have mannerisms that are just universal to us as human beings. And that wasn't happening. And that's something I want to reflect on. Not that I'm so brilliant, but remember all these years of me bitching and moaning about his duplicitous behavior where he puts on his fake face and then he acts one way in public, one way in private. Well, this is my main takeaway. Like, I don't know if he believes that he's winning, but when we look at the documents as an attorney and the legal standing, my prediction is he's in a whole heap of trouble, because what he did do, not through this interview, but before it, is he pierced his own corporate veil. When we learned, and he specifically went on record of saying it's him personally owns it and it's his benefit, well, he gets all of the benefits and the problems, because if in fact the case succeeds, which I think there's a much stronger case in favor of WP Engine winning, Matt's going to carry that load. And I don't know if he senses this or not, but then when he polled the audience, it's like,
he loves his polls. He loves his polls, doesn't he?
There was, I mean, this was the one remarkable thing, because you couldn't see their hands, but he goes, oh, well, look at all the people. And she goes, it looked like a lot of hands. And then he says, well, 15% is all you need to trigger the, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. That's, so those are my takeaways are, I wish I had a time machine, because what's not ever going to come back, and we were just talking about, like, when we were in San Diego together a couple years ago, in Maryland even last year, we've lost the illusion that daddy is nice to all the kids. And now we know that daddy is off in the bars and doing troublesome stuff on his spare time. And it's never going to be the same again to listen to daddy talk to us and read bedtime stories.
Yeah, listen, thanks for
because
that.
Because the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah, I need to get some of the other paper in this.
I actually have a question for all of you about this. Again, like, as like a spectator looking in, what I see is like just sort of widespread, you know, like nobody is sort of standing with Matt on any of this. That's what I'm seeing as like a widespread theme, right? But
only
is there
employees.
Well, that's my question. Is like, is there a? I guess clearly the people who are still.
I wish I was working for Automatic. Then I could take my fucking 9 months.
There's one or two people who have been publishing lately. In his
aside from like direct employees, though, like, is there like any sort of like contingent or audience that's like that Matt is seeing as like confirmation for any of his actions? Like, you know,
fearful for their jobs, people. There's a few Twitter postings that it's calmed down.
You know, James Giroux used to work for us for a bit. Now he works for Automatic. And he's the one that I've seen mostly on the front line. But then when I see like the replies to his backups, that's just.
And there was the, in the show notes, folks, that I gave to the panelists, there's an article from WP Tavern. And it's the same old bum knickers in the WordPress community that are quoted in it. People that, I'm not going to name them, but the same old bum knickers. Same old bum knickers. Mark, they're so far up his ass that it's just unbelievable. Mark, so what? Some of the key things I took from it, I just want to see if you observed it. Hopefully you watched. First of all, Mark, did you watch this amazing interview?
I watched parts of it, but I have to admit, between this going on and all of the politics going on, there gets to be a point where it's just the same old thing.
It's all merged, isn't it, Mark? I just want to point out a couple of key things that I got out of it and see if you agree. Number one, he's changed his legal team. I think that's quite telling that he's got a lawyer that was involved with, cancelled, gave advice to a bomber. So it's Spencer will know more about this than me, but he's got new legal counsel. Very wise, I feel.
Why is that new? I don't think that's new.
Well, it was new to me that he ditched the old legal counsel and he's got new people.
Oh, go ahead, Devin.
He engaged with them early on and mentioned that.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
4 weeks ago, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Something to do with some guy he met at Burning Man, too, I had heard, or something like that, who has to do with. I don't know. It's very confusing to me. I think that it's a situation kind of like other kind of losing battles where you just see one attorney after the other say, hey, if you're not going to follow my advice or whatever, you know, they'll put out a briefing or some sort of, and I'm not a lawyer, so.
Well, I've got one bit of advice though, Matt. Don't stop taking interviews.
Well, yeah. I think that what's happened though is that people, what has worked for him, like Spencer said, is this idea that he can like smile through his clenched teeth and act all calm and zen in public. And, but underneath, if you look a little deeper, you know, people are starting to see through that facade. You know, I have always said, I've said this probably a million times, when this whole idea of benevolent dictator came up, I said, the thing about a dictator is they'll give up being benevolent, but they'll never give up being a dictator. And, you know, I think that that's sort of what we're starting to see. And like you said, it's like, well, oh, we're discovering daddy's not nice anymore. Well, that's, you know, he's a dictator. I mean, that's what happens. So, when the pressure gets on, you're never going to give up the power unless it's somehow forced. And I think that that's what the community is calling for. We'd rather it be given up voluntarily. But it's the more he digs his heels in, the harder that's going to be for him to do.
So, Devin, I've been sent a few DMs and a few emails. Basically, a few people have said to me that the great leader was looking to buy WP Engine. And this is basically what it was about. And they just wanted too much money. I think the other hosting providers must be in a tricky position, Devin, because obviously they've got no love for a major competitor. But on the other hand, they must be a bit concerned the shakedown. They're next on the list for the shakedown, basically. I want 8%. So it must be a tricky position, but that's what I have no insights, folks, but that's what's been sent to me, that he was... And I wouldn't be that surprised if there was some element of truth. I have no inside information, folks. Real inside information. But I wouldn't be that surprised if Automatic were trying... They were in discussions with WP Engine to buy it, actually. Would you be that surprised, actually, Debbie?
No. No, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Is that all you're going to say?
I thought you were going to keep going on there. No, I think... I mean, about the interview, I actually think it did him more good than it did harm. I think that might be an unpopular take, but...
I'm really interested in your reflections on it.
Well, besides what he was wearing on his wrist, I have no idea what that thing was. But did you guys see that? It was like rocket ship watch or something like that. Besides that, you know, it showed him kind of as a level head. And if you follow him on Twitter or wherever, and he's... seemingly taken over some of these Automatic and WordPress.org accounts, and I don't know, some of that stuff seems a little bit over the top. But when he sits down and he gets some tough questions asked, he can smile and actually answer, and in front of a live audience, it does take somebody with a strong mind to do that, and especially when you have the inventor of the iPod coming up after you, and you're in this esteemed panel, for lack of a better word. But, you know, I've been trying to stay in the middle of the road. I published a blog post that was kind of like, I believe in the future of WordPress. I think Matt could have handled this a lot better, and I mentioned that as well. His attitude is alarming in the public sphere. I don't know why that would be benefiting his argument to do some of these things, and it's puzzling to me. But at the same time, I think some of his arguments are valid. It just, the way that it's gone about, it could have been so much better just going behind closed doors and just having people speculate about things, and just using your lawyers for what they're good at, and that's going after people. And I don't have a lot of love for Automatic and Matt. They sent me a cease and desist back in 2017 for my old brand that used to be called Word Impress. And I admittedly, it was a bit close to WordPress. And so we just changed.
You were pushing it. Yeah. It
we just changed it to Impress.
Walker Press.
But they didn't stop going. Once we changed the name, and this is 2017, we changed it and we updated all our domains. The lawyers kept coming after us and they would just do a Google scan. They say, what about this form where this is mentioned one time? We had to educate them. Well, we don't own that form. We can't swipe that from the internet or wipe it from the internet. And they seemed to understand it, but there was a long chain of emails. And so he's got some ruthless people working for him. And I have experienced this. And for the first time, they've got a big contender going after back at them. And I think that's a place that he's not used to. I think he's used to maybe punching down and not getting a square fighter.
I think that's like the other big I'm going to have like more questions than answers on this show, I think. But that's the other big question here is like, what do you think was actually motivating him to take that step starting, you know, when all this started at you know, at WordCamp? Like, do we think that like he, in his mind, it was playing out in a completely different way than what ended up happening? Like, maybe he overestimates the actual power that he actually has in a lot of these situations?
I think so. And, you know, I think the motivation thing, and this was asked, like, in my opinion, he's under pressure to make this thing profitable. Like, you can't, it's his 19th year at this business. He said he did like a raise. The initial Series A was like 1.103.
Quick question, Devin. What I was amazed that he said he owns 82% of the company.
That was a lot more than I thought.
And was you not amazed? He said He said that before. How can he? He's on his sixth round. He's obtained almost $1 billion of external investment, and he's saying he's got 82% control.
So that means he raised $300 million from Salesforce and only gave him how many shares? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, because that was years ago on a lower valuation. I think that's a little bit of an untruth there, for lack of a better word.
So what do you reckon, Spencer? Do you think in any shape or form that he could own 82% of Automattic with almost $1 billion of external investment?
I think Devin's on to something. I'll answer it like this. First of all, this is like when somebody on those YouTube videos gets drunk and they have a camera from the street and they start throwing punches at women and little kids, and then some bigger person, a dude, comes up and they try to take a punch and the guy knocks him out. Mullenweg did something that I think he thought he was back in the old days where he can, you know, knock Chris Pearson around or, you know, take a shot at somebody who's just helpless to defend themselves. And he picked the wrong person to take swing at, the wrong company, because WP Engine could not be more empowered legally, morally, financially, ethically, and they're backed by a powerful VC. Once he got into that problem, that's when I think the pressure mounted, because underneath this, I would agree with Devin's premise. You build an open source community, you allow people, encourage people to build stuff, and then somebody builds something cooler and more profitable, and the people that handed you $1 billion are like, hey, listen, Matt, we got a problem here. Like, we got to get our money back. And all of a sudden,
it's been a while too.
All of a sudden, it's like, hey, Mullenweg, answer to the fact that how is it that nice guy Jason Cohen and his team built this other thing that makes more money, is more notoriety, and everybody thinks in your mind it's like WordPress? How are you going to fix this? All of a sudden, when you're all by yourself in your apartment, the walls start closing in, and you start doing batshit crazy stuff, like we've seen from Elon Musk. But Elon Musk is a unique individual because I can't see how he keeps doing the stuff he's doing, but he keeps doing it. This is the club that he finds himself in, and I couldn't answer to his reasons, but that seems to be the most logical. And now when you've double, triple, quadruple down, all the bad behavior spills out onto the pavement. Like, the true nature of what you are and who you are comes out under this kind of pressure. And that's unfortunately what we're seeing, because that's what always bothered me a lot. Like, genuine people are the same in private and public. That's not what we're seeing here.
I have a question here, which is, do you think he thought he would get more support from the community than he did and thought it would be a popular opinion?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably where a lot of his strategy failed. First of all, going after someone with as much or more money than you is, you know, is one thing. But then not having the popular vote also, because, you know, sometimes, like, we might be choosing, I'm not saying we are, but we might be choosing between the lesser of two evils, right? So, and you can only pick one. It's sadly a binary thing. And so, so when popular opinion, doesn't go the way that you want it, you end up, I think he's ended up in a corner. He's painted himself in a corner that he's going to have a very difficult time getting himself out of. Unless he, you know, comes back and says, you know, it really was the kidney stones or something like that. But
I think he thought that he could use the community as a tool
right.
to achieve his like objectives, right. Like financially, strategically, and that tool right. was not what he thought it was. And I think it's like an overestimation of like the why that community exists. I don't think that, from my perspective, the community exists like because of love for Matt or everyone loves the WordPress project, but a lot of it is like business driven. People have built incredible businesses, bootstrapped, funded, all of it. So many of us in this, that's what makes it an actual ecosystem, and that's what drives it. It's not like and you can't just use that as a tool or automatic to wage wars, you know.
Well, the sad part is for the community though is I think of my own work experience online every day on Twitter, getting messages from, you know, making WordPress the Slack channel, check this box, do this. And I just keep thinking like that movie Better Off Dead with the Paperboy and Matt
Screamer. I love that movie.
Winners by $2. Winners by $2. It begins to wear on us as a community over time. And I think over time, it's doing a whole lot more damage than any 8%. I got to say this. I got to see if I can pull it off. That the bum lickers are trying to get for Matt.
Yeah, the thing that gets me, I'll just put this quickly to Spencer and then we go for our break. What gets me, Spencer, in this interview, and he's made other statements, and don't get me wrong, panel, I'm no great lover of Silver Lake. You know, right. WP Engine are fine enough. Jason, we're not a close friend, but I think he'd be okay in saying I'm a friend of his. But what really rubs me up about the Great Leader, he keeps saying that they've committed some crimes. They've committed copyright. Well, the using WP, he's the one that promoted you'd be okay if you don't do what Devin did. You know, Devin, typical Devin, pushing it right to the edge.
Hey, I was
pushing it right to the edge of. That you can push it, but you know, he's the one that promoted the whole thing. You'd be okay if you just use WP. It's just or they've turned off revisions. Oh, give me a break, Matt.
Well, I mean, is this all really because of Matt's mother? I mean, honestly, is that what really prompted this whole thing?
Yeah, if you fall out, obviously she's the one that's running it, not him. You know, if you fall out with Max's mum, you're finished, aren't you? What do you reckon, Spence? I'm on.
There was a weird term. I think it was from some Shakespeare when I was in law school. They said, there's an American version, but give somebody enough rope and they'll foist themselves up on their own petard, which is some shipmaker thing. But essentially, give somebody long enough rope and they'll hang themselves. And I think what we've seen here is that when somebody is not acting with legitimate intentions or their public intentions in a clear way, that they get tripped up on the series of things that happens more and more desperate. Like, I'll just pull this rope a little tighter. And what I'm suggesting here is that he's created a situation where he's now revealed terribly detrimental things about what's under the hood. When he had the opportunity originally to handle it in a discreet, private way. And you can't undo that. And he may potentially, I'm just saying as an observant attorney, he may have caused himself actual criminal liability himself, tax liability himself. He created structures that were non-for-profits that have been revealed to maybe not be structured the way or monitored the way they're supposed to be. He's gone after somebody with unlimited funds in a public way and called them derogatory things, blocked their clients, done third-party damages down the line. Like, this is what they call a lawyer's banquet. This is a buffet of potential. And again, we time machine or not, you go back, what? Why? Why? You had everybody thinking you were the Wizard of Oz, and then you pulled back the curtain and started shooting at people in the audience. And it's just unfortunate because I really miss the innocence of the early days. I don't want to say I'm not picking on Otto, but I follow Reddit, and Otto has been his henchman. And I think he thought he could get him. What's that?
I said, I don't understand that. I mean,
okay, but I think he thought he could get away with it, like one of those things where he doesn't have to get his hands dirty. Otto would do all the dirty work. But even Otto withdrew from Reddit because the public crowd, like Marie Antoinette, at a certain point, they are not going to eat cake. They're going to riot and put you on the guillotine. Right. And that's what's happening now. And it's not going to get better before it gets worse for him. For the rest of us, we'll be fine. But let me also suggest one other thing. It's very complicated for the rest of us to figure out who is the new thought leader, whatever leader, while he's still maintaining the claim that it's all my stuff. There has to be a process where his stuff is wrestled away from him first, legally and officially, until the rest of us can do whatever we're going to do. But thankfully, being open source, it's not going to stop us from doing business. I mean, it would have been worse if there was you can't use the code anymore, but we can.
So that leads me to a question, which is really quickly, what do you think it's going to take in order to gain back trust in this community that people are going to want to come back? It's not just the open source software piece. Obviously, it is. You have people that are leaving the repository or getting blocked from the repository, that trust factor is how do you get that back? Does it take the courts coming in and saying, hey, this is too big to fail? And I don't know. This is too big to fail at this point with 43% of the
blend.
So we
He's gone. That's what it has to be.
But yeah. even whatever end game after whatever happens after Matt leaves the stage, which I have no idea what that even looks like, but I made the same observation when I came home from after Cabo Press a couple of weeks ago. Again, I'm like an outsider looking in at I bootstrap and I run businesses now that are not really tied to WordPress, right? I've noticed two things. One is existing companies built in the WordPress ecosystem are taking active steps to decouple themselves from whether that's rebranding, spinning up alternate versions of their product that are not WordPress centric. So that's number one. And then number two, I'm also speaking to multiple small new startup products, like people who are in development of new products, and they were originally planning on doing those in the WordPress ecosystem. They've pivoted those plans to be outside of the WordPress ecosystem.
Yeah,
well. That's what I question in terms of the future. The 40% of the internet or whatever it is, 50%, I don't know, that's not going to go away. That is still going to be a massive footprint on the world of the internet, WordPress is. But in terms of the energy, the ecosystem, new products, businesses being built, why would someone, what's the incentive for someone to start a new product in the WordPress ecosystem?
I see where you're coming from, Brian, but actually, in some ways, I don't think it's as serious as that. But we got to go for our middle break, folks. I forgot to do my starter break. I've got so a fuse to get in and discuss everything with our fantastic panel. But we've got to go for our middle break, and I've got a message for one of my major sponsors. Bless their hearts. They gave me money to sponsor this show. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent.
And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. We've had a really interesting discussion. I really enjoyed it. I'm just waiting for the letter that I'm envious of Devin that he got a letter. I'm just waiting for mine. But before we go into the other fantastic stories, I just also want to point out that if you're a WordPress professional and you're looking for the best WordPress plugins, special offers, and a curated list of the best plugins services for WordPress, you can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's
darn
what you're going to get. Yeah, right. Fair enough. He interrupted my catchphrase. Oh, there we go. I'll forgive him. Most wouldn't. So on we go. All right. You thought the first half was crazy. We've got even more crazier story here, folks. Elon Musk. Oh, my God. Secret talks with Putin. Ramped up during the Twitter takeover, good old Elon. And then I found a YouTube video where he's talking about he wants to give his seed to even more people. Who should I choose here? Let's start with Kirk. So what do you reckon, Kirk? You know, he's been having these little chats with his friend Putin, and he also wants to spread his seed even more. If you ask, he'll post you some seed. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, Jonathan, I'm sure you've already figured out you and I have a different opinion about my friend Elon Musk. If I were one of the wealthiest people in the world, you can bet you I'd be having lots of secret conversations with leaders from all over the world about where I was going to invest, where I was going to build businesses, and what assets they had that I might find useful. I would absolutely leverage that. And anyone else that says that they wouldn't do it, I don't think they're being honest with themselves.
Would you freely post your seed to anybody that would ask for it, Kurt?
I am a little more conservative than that. I will keep the seed to myself.
All right. So, Brian. I've remarked a couple of times on this show that I considered Elon to be the Henry Ford of our modern days. And like Henry, he got into a lot of trouble, Henry, for his support of the Nazi Party and eugenics and all sorts of things. And he ended up in court and he got extremely embarrassed. And I think Elon is heading for court and heading for a lot of trouble coming his way, depending how the election goes. What do you reckon, Brian?
It's interesting. I had this sort of, I don't know if it's a debate, we sort of agree, but my co-host Jordan Gall and I on our podcast, Bootstrapped Web, we were talking about this maybe 2 weeks ago with Elon. Like, I've been really torn on my whole view of Elon world. I mean, on the one hand, I agree. I think he's one of the most. I think it's incredible that we get to live through a generation where we have someone like that who is pushing on space travel and electric cars
and his seed.
Oh my God. I mean, I think a lot. His companies have done a lot of good in our world, right? I actually am a fan of Tesla. I drive one, and I also think that company has pushed the automobile industry like 10 years ahead that it wouldn't have been. SpaceX has been a huge positive force, but then on the other side is everything else with Elon, and it's like basically ever since the Twitter takeover that period of time. Maybe before that or after, like, that's when I start to really scratch my head. It's like, what is this guy doing? Like, why even go for acquiring Twitter?
Brian, in some ways, it's linked to our first half. Another, but on a much bigger scale, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, and I mean, I just don't see the strategic benefit of the all the Twitter stuff and all the Trump stuff and all of that. Like, it just doesn't seem like it's helpful to anyone, his own interests or the interests of society in general. Like, it doesn't seem helpful. At the end of the day, I heard a take the other day about, like, well, maybe his whole backing of, I hate to, you know, use the Trump word on these podcasts, but like, if you're scratching your head on like why he's going to these rallies and stuff, it's sort of like a no lose proposition in his mind. It's he can back it and if Trump loses, like, doesn't matter, he'll just keep going forward. And if he wins, then he's in a good position, I guess. But the whole thing, that whole side of Elon is like, has always been a head scratcher to me. Like, I feel like he could achieve so much more positive positive impact in the world without all the bullshit.
Yeah, it's not, well, Spencer, this is my opinion. You know, I think Elon's a hardcore fascist. So it makes perfect sense because he's driven by ideology. And he's, in my opinion, he's a fascist. So what do you reckon, Spencer?
I really originally thought that the stuff that Elon Musk was doing would be the sum total of his focus. In other words, with SpaceX and with Tesla, with Solar City, with all the other stuff. The fact that he finds himself spending as much or more time in the public space for politics and questionable politics at that, and exposing himself as under the hood kind of guy with his 400 children and things that he says that would not be considered, let's say, an evolved man about women and otherwise. It's sad to me because it shows that each of these individuals we talked about, him, Matt, anybody who attains a certain level of whatever, public standing and financial success, even the number one in the world, the sunlight still goes through that magnifying glass and magnifies things of their personality in the same way. And this is what happens. Very few times do we see a person attain this level of publicity or success where their worst things are not magnified greater than their best things. Because even if you love him for his various good deeds, it's really hard to overlook the why of all this other shenanigans. Like, look at I don't know if he's not perfect, but a Larry Ellison, right? The dude's 80 something. He looks like he's 50. He's a quadrillionaire and nobody,
younger than me.
Nobody hears from him ever. You know what I mean? Like, Bill Gates is controversial because of his other problems, but like, you see, there is, I don't know what, who's the guy from Craigslist, Craig Niemark, right? We don't hear from him. He's got to be worth $1 billion. There is a way to lead a life that doesn't go this way. So what we're seeing is just an exceptional time in human history. And unfortunately, I'm a little disappointed because the commingling of these people's behavior is violating the trust that we all have in politics and fair play and the voting system. And like, even when it comes to like an American dude who has all the satellites orbiting the planet gets to decide when and where to turn them on for military purposes. That's Dr. Evil level of problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mark, I thought him buying Twitter was in a way a real shit fest. It was really a big mistake, but I now realize he really, really wanted Twitter. He really wanted it big, and it's become quite clear why he wanted it, and he wanted it bad. He didn't want to pay the money they were wanting for it, and he tried to, you know, beat them down on the price, and that didn't work out for him. But it's pretty obvious that he really wanted Twitter now. Would you agree with that, Mark?
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, going along the Elon thing, and like everyone else here, it's easy to compartmentalize and say these are the great things that he's done. But I think that when you end up having more money than God, then you kind of get to be, you know, then people get to see a person's true character. And I think that we're seeing that. And the thing is, when you have more money than God, the only thing that's left for you to do is get more power. And so if we're wondering, you know, why he's doing all this, well, this is more for power than it is for money. He doesn't need more money. It's, you know, if he ends up in a political position, that gives him, you know, access both behind the scenes and, you know, in front of the public, where he has far more control over things than he ever had before. And you know, we're just discovering, you know, a little bit of part of his true character. And, you know, I keep saying I wish he'd just go back to doing the things that he does well. But the reality is he's doing a lot of things well. I just don't like what he's doing.
So, Devin, do you think he is the kind of Henry Ford of the 21st century?
For sure. Yeah, I think Mark, I think you do like a lot of things that he's doing with Neuralink, with Tesla, with SpaceX, catching rockets. There's nobody that can do that. If you're in China, you'll get disappeared. If you're in Russia, you'll get disappeared. They'll hand your fortune to an oligarch. They'll drive it in the ground. They'll pilfer it. To me, we live in the greatest country where you can do this. You can innovate. Sure, he might say some things that hurt some people's feelings. Like, I think a lot of people's on this call, they got their feelings hurt. I don't like a lot of it, but I don't pretend to think he's out here to do bad. I think he does believe in free speech. You're free to use Mastodon. Lots of people went and used it. They're back on X now. So, you know, I'm a capitalist pure, and I'm very conservative too. And so I'm a big fan of Elon, and he does some stupid ass shit. I agree. But
that's one way of putting it.
I'm not gonna come out here and go and pick it against him. And, you know, his Trump campaign, whether I agree with that or not,
to the nitty gritty of it, Devin. Are you planning to send out your seed by post?
It'll be like $1 million a pop, but sure.
Yeah.
Right. No, just kidding.
All right. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next story. Oh, Jack. Jack sent a letter to Automattic for his WP Fusion plugin. Get me off that directory. Cease and desist. I've got to admit, obviously, Jack from WP Fusion, he's not reliant on Discovery, really. Most people buy his plugin directly. But it was a kind of ballsy move. What did you think, Devin? Do you think he was bonkers, really, old Jack? Jack's coming on the show for an interview, I might add.
No, I like Jack. Jack's a Cabo Press alumni, where we got to hang out down there quite a bit. And I hung out with him in Europe. Besides that, though, I don't think he had much skin in the game with .org, so... I think it was like a little bit, he might not agree, but a little bit of a publicity move to do that. And WP is a great product, whether this is, you know, you see him posting on Twitter, like playing a drinking game with how much Matt laughs at his own jokes. Yes. Like, I'm not like going to troll like that. So Jack, like, love you, bro. But, you know, I don't know. Not for me.
No, but I laughed though. But I choose not to do that. I'm just not going to get on Twitter and do that type of stuff. I see where you're coming from. What do you reckon, Spencer? You're a friend.
Jack on Slack right now from live from Berlin. So, but here's the thing.
Give him my best regards, will you?
Yes. To know Jack is to love Jack. Jack is one of the most beloved characters in all the WordPress space besides you guys. And it's very difficult to get him to rise to the level of poking a stick at anything. So, you know, when Jack does it, he's going all in. And I'm like right behind him. I've known him for many years and we worked together. I'm behind him all the way because that is my barometer. If Jack's scale has been tipped to the point where he's going to poke a stick at anything or anybody, it's only with a lot of forethought. So I enjoy this conversation. One of the things that comes away from his particular thing was goose and gander, right? So Matt makes the bold statement publicly of what he thinks is right and what other people did. So if we take Matt's very own statement of what is right and what he did and apply it the other way around, which is what Jack did, it's impervious, even held up to automatic's attorney scrutiny. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, my whole life had to be very careful to not go public with things unless I know I can do it in court because I got that training early on and it's like, it's ingrained in your head. So what I'm saying is this stuff is just the beginning of whatever is going to fall out. But in terms of the injunction, I think WP Engines, they're going to pull away in this race. You're going to see WP Engine pulling away with victory, 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 victory. And this whole story is going to turn into a cautionary tale for Matt, which I feel bad about as a human being because Matt created this whole thing. He's an amazing person to get us here. It's just unfortunate he chose the wrong path. I think the only way for this to be resolved will be when he's legally or voluntarily removes himself from the day-to-day, and now we can have a fresh start, like an amnesty, like when the Soviet Union fell or when South Africa did amnesty. You can't have the old people still in there, like,
you know, Jack.
Yeah.
I know him a little bit, but you know him a lot better than me. Really, he's really put a target on his back.
And no, he's not. He hasn't done anything like that.
Well, don't you think so? Because the great leader is a bit vindictive, isn't he?
Here's the difference. The difference is if you take somebody's words in public and you follow the letter of them without any ad hominem attack, he literally just sent a legal letter, cease and desist, exactly as automatic's attorneys did the other way around. And they had no choice but to respond because the facts about that were in his favor. That is the proper way to handle it. We've had lots of talks on these shows and all the years I've known you. There's a difference between doing it professionally that way, which was 100% bulletproof, and going, you know, something about the person or something about, like, you know, their character. And I appreciate Jack for that. I mean, I love him as a friend too, but, like, I appreciate the fact that that's the discourse that works in this world. When you just say, look, I'm not making any threats about you or saying anything about you personally. I'm just saying you said these are the rules. Now you change the rules. I'm worried you changed the rules. So I'm using the thing you just said to tell you fix it for me too. And how do you defend that? You can't. So
what do you reckon, Brian?
You know, this is a story that I'm just a little less familiar with. I did see when it came out, or, you know, when he made the announcement and everything. I'm just not super familiar with, I don't know Jack, and I'm not super familiar with
he's a really great guy. He's one of the best. Devin's a pretty great developer.
You can send
me the check after the show, even though I've said nasty things about your great Elon.
What I'm kind of wondering though is, like, what is the benefit or cost to removing yourself from the .com like directory or whatever? Like, does it actually hurt his lead flow or funnel in any way for Fusion?
No. I know the answer. The reason it needs to be out of the .com is because he didn't publish it to the .com. He published it to the .org, and the WP Fusion Lite plugin is designed to bring people in who, let's be honest, there's not a lot of features in it, but then they get introduced to the concept of using marketing automation instead of membership plugins and so forth.
Right.
But when they took it, they took his stuff and moved it somewhere it wasn't his desire to have it moved.
So, nope. Okay, so is it like the typical, like, WordPress plugin model where you have a light version on the .org repo, which is sort of a lead gen for your premium version, right?
Yes.
So, but if it having the light version on the .com directory, does that help Does that serve the same lead generation as the .org?
Jack publishes an annual report, but on the statistics, I'll make a guess from my recollection. The people who come in from .com or .org isn't so relevant in terms of whether it's from one or the other, but I would venture they mostly come from .org because the people who would understand why they need this, it's a Swiss Army knife tool. They're not going to be the people who tend to go to .com. Like, in other words, if you're on .com, let's just say you need somebody holding your hand and this kind of stuff may be beyond you. I think more likely you're experimenting and tinkering on .org. But even then, the majority of people who buy the premium stuff, because I do the direct calls with them oftentimes, is they've got some really complicated Frankenstein monster, or they heard they need this to connect to that. And those people are a little deeper into it than you'd find from .com. I think Jack's opinion was, I'll let him speak if he ever talks on it, was that he doesn't like when bullies do bullying things. And he didn't like that, like, you took all my stuff and everyone's stuff and you moved it over there. And now you said you're going to file a lawsuit against WP Engine. Well, follow your own rules. That's what I think was underneath.
Right. I'm going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. We might continue the discussion. We got some other topics to discuss. I'll leave it to the panel's discretion if we're going to have a bonus session. If we do, you'll be able to watch the whole show on the WP Tonic website. I'm respectful of the panelists' time. I leave it to their discretion. Some of them might have better things to go to, but we'll hopefully continue the discussion. But I'm going to let the panel... let's start with Brian. What's the best way to find out more about you and your views and ideas, Brian?
Well, my site is at briancastle.com, and these days I'm actually using Blue Sky, and I'm using that more than I'm still on Twitter pretty actively, or I still call it Twitter. So Castian,
I'm gonna call it Twitter.
And I co-host the Bootstrap Web podcast most weeks, where we're talking about,
and it's a great podcast. Please listen to it. I listen to it. Devin, what's the best way for people to find out? Devin's a great guy, actually. You might have slightly different opinions about Elon, but he's just a great guy. So, Devin, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can check out my website, devin.org, or find me on Twitter at interwebs, and usually in those two places.
Right, that's great. And Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
You can find me at markbenzekane.com. You can find me on, I'm all over MainWP, just about everywhere. And so if you go to the Facebook users group, I'm in there. I'm just about everywhere. And then on Twitter, I'm Mark Benzak, and that's M-A-R-C, Benzak, B-E-N-Z-A-K. And I will also always call it Twitter because it's better to tweet than the post anyway.
Yeah, true. And Spencer, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to, Spencer?
WPLaunchFi.com. Social is Spencer Foreman, no E in Foreman. And I'll be chilling.
Chilling. Like I say, hopefully we will be continuing the discussion. We got... I want to talk about Apple and also about the WordPress theme repository. But we're going to end the podcast part of the show. I just want to say thank you for your support, Tribe. The show's grown. The listeners has grown. It's been a really amazing year. I don't know where it's gone. I want to wish you and your family a fantastic Thanksgiving and a Christmas. And new year, we will be back. Well, the round table show will be back in the new year. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye. Do you want to so if any of you want to leave?
I have to bounce, but I want to wish you guys all, if I don't see you, wonderful holiday season. Let's cross our fingers for less drama. Come on the next time, and I
got to bounce too. Good luck with that.
Got my kids' Halloween parade here in a bit, so I gotta head out.
Oh, well, they're all going, they're all leaving, so fair enough. They're all leaving. Let's quickly discuss the Apple. The Apple story. you got to comment quickly on this, Devin, because I wasn't surprised that they're cutting back, really, because it didn't click, really.
I mean, I spent $4,000 on this.
Damn. You bought it?
Yeah, it's sitting over here. And
when was the last time you actually used it? I'm curious.
When they came out with this latest Apple Vision, the immersive video, that's the best thing about the whole device. Have you guys tried the immersive video on it? It is amazing.
Well, I haven't got 4,000 just to lay it down and buy it. See, David, I'm not.
Well, you got
to
sell a company. That'll get you that 4K. But the immersive video is like the future of.
Mark can't do that because he's got so many children.
So, like,
No, you have to film it on like their special cameras, but they came out with the first scripted actual immersive video, and it's like you're in a World War II submarine.
Oh, wow.
And you're getting shot by a torpedo or struck by a torpedo, and it is the most amazing experience to be in that world and just look around and to actually be in that environment. And
crazy,
there's all sorts of different ones. I could never work in it. It's way too heavy for my face, but it's sad to see that it's not. I mean, it's a 4K price. Meta has won this war as far as this point. So if they need, Zuckerberg is crushing it. And I don't know if you saw his keynote where he's actually got the little goggle or the little sunglasses that are next level. So if Apple's going to continue.
Just to ask you a quick question, Devlin. So you don't think it's the actual core concept. You think the core concept has rode. You just think it was the weight. Price, the actual device. Is that a recap of your position?
Essentially, yeah. I think the no controller part, the eye tracking is a little bit off. Also, I thought that was very innovative, but it just doesn't work that well, in my opinion. And people love those Meta controllers.
Yeah, it does seem like they. I think that like wearables like this are going to be a thing. Like a major, like I think 5 to 10 years, like they are going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely an open question of whether it's going to be Meta or Apple or someone else who's like the winner or the dominant device. But I think clearly we're going to get away from like everyone looking down at their phone to everyone mostly getting most of the information right there with like heads up in some form. And that's some sort of glasses or goggles, right?
It's going to be implanted into your brain, Brian.
I mean, honestly, you know, there could be. But I also think that Apple's timing on that product, and like, because I'm sure it was in development for like 10 years or something, right? Well before the AI wave came about, which they're kind of flat-footed on a little bit. And, you know, I think that they overinvested in like, it's got to be super high quality visuals, whereas Meta was like, it's just got to be more usable and lightweight and let's put the compute in your hand instead of on the headset, right?
So what do you reckon, Mark? I just, you know, you looked really cool. Obviously, I haven't got, not because I haven't got the kind of money that Devin's got, obviously. But it's been a bit of a dead end, isn't it? This whole virtual reality in a way, but it's so. You can so clearly see the possibilities, but it hasn't really so far.
I think the other miscalculation on Apple's part with it was the content. And that's why I was asking Devin about like how much do you actually use it? It like when it came out, there just wasn't enough content available. And not only just apps, but like content, like games, videos, movies, TV shows, and they have like Apple TV Plus and stuff, but it's not like in order to make it usable, I have to want to actually use it every day and get content through it. And that doesn't seem like it's.
Well, and things like, you know, things like viewing movies or TV, or that's something you would do. You can only do by yourself with something like that, unless everybody has a $4,000 headset. And I mean, I have the poor man's Apple, which is the Quest, and all of a sudden watch a Netflix, you know, movie or something on it by myself, because it's kind of cool, the whole environment. You feel like you're like in a theater and all that stuff. But I agree. It's going places. But that $4,000 price tag, I think, you know, if you look at what really put Apple on the map in this century, it really was the iPhone. And that was because they did something with phones that nobody else did. And it was enough different that people were willing to pay a few bucks more for it. The original iPhones weren't that much more. But when you're talking about the difference between a $500 price tag and a $4,000 price tag on something that can fall off your head and break, that's a hard market to go after. And there aren't enough tech bros out there to spend that kind of money. So
I think that they knew that Apple knew that pricing is high. It's not going to be a widespread product. But after a few generations, they can get there. But I do think that Meta is going to beat them there just because they're taking a better strategy.
Do you think, Devin?
I agree.
Having it directly linked to your computer, whatever, you know, it's not, you have a cable, don't you, that's connected to it?
No, it's connected to a battery, and then you can AirPlay over.
But having that connection to the battery, does that make it less attractive, really?
I mean, I don't really wear it around. I think that the weight is the biggest thing for me. I'm just very sensitive to that. And it hurts my face around those sides. And it's just not, it's clunky. I can never work in it.
All right. Shall we go on to the last story and wrap it up then about WordPress? So what was your reaction to this story, Devin, about they're kind of publicizing that?
Hey, guys, sorry. I'm actually going to have to run out on this. My kid's brain went up, so.
See you later, Brian.
Have a good one.
Brian.
So what was your reaction to this, actually, Devin? You know, where they're pronouncing it. They've now got 1,000 block themes. Because I took it totally the other way, that we're almost 7 years into this thing, and they're at the stage where they're bragging that they've got 1,000 block themes. Can you see my view? What's your own thought about this?
Well, I think the most popular block theme only has like 60,000 active installs out of all of them. And then when you look through, it's a big cliff that drops off from there. So you're absolutely right. The popularity hasn't caught on. And I've always wanted to publish a block theme on the repo just for fun, not for profit or anything, just to find out about that. It is concerning that they keep pumping it up, and it's just like kind of not going anywhere.
Any insights why it's not going anywhere?
I think it's why Cadence hasn't gone into block themes is because there's not a lot of demand, and you're sort of handcuffed one hand behind your back on what you can do as well.
Do you want me asking what you mean by that?
Well, your capabilities are somewhat limited more so than a classic theme and the functionality you can do because this is mainly, you know, React-based. You could create a whole block theme with just a JSON file, and that could be the entire theme. And with the classic theme or traditional one, you can do a whole lot more. You can require plugins that do a lot more, but... to me, it's a meaningless milestone that was just scraped up to publish a news article.
So, what's your own thoughts, Mark?
I think that I tend to agree with Devin. Of course, I'm not a dev anywhere near as advanced as Devin, but I think that the article was put out to. 1,000 sounds like a lot until you point out the fact that, you know, it's been 7 years and all that, and it's not that much. But I think the idea was to give this idea of, hey, there's some traction here. Get on the stick. And I think, like a lot of other things, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's backfiring, but I don't think that this article is going to really have much traction either.
They keep flogging it, don't they? All right. Go on. Sorry.
Who's they? Tavern?
There's a kind of, you know, there's people, you know, we can disagree about some things, Devin, but I respect your opinion. You might have different views about different things, but I think you believe in democracy and you believe and you really love your country. So I've got no problem about your opinions. And hopefully, I really do wish the best for America. I'm a joint citizen, but I would never do anything to damage America. I've had my ups and downs here, but a lot of that's been down to my own madness. But I do find it a bit of a crazy place, but I quite like that because it kind of fits into my character. So so it swings and roundabouts, isn't it, Devin? But
yeah,
there's a kind of, no, we're still live, so I've got to be a little bit careful. There seems to be a kind of unofficial establishment that are just prepared to say anything to get me in favour with the leadership of Automattic. They're prepared to say anything, do anything that gets them in the right. And there's a small group of these people, and I might be totally, it's only my perspective, and they can always be guaranteed to toe the kind of Automattic, the official line about anything. And I understand why they do it, because it does give them benefit. You know, they do it for commercial reasons. So I'm not that naive. But but I am fascinated why they keep flogging this dead horse, really, because it's so obvious that there is no real demand for it, but they keep flogging it, don't they? Right, we're going to end the show now. Thanks for staying on, both Mark and Devin. You've been fantastic analysts. It's been a fantastic discussion. And we'll see you in the new year, folks. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.